Shalom, shalom, most precious saints of God. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries, and thank you for tuning in for the news portion of the Shofar Ministries Hour. Prophecy in Ezekiel 38 says Iran, once called Persia, would play a major role in the end time wars scenario. So it's very interesting to watch how Iran, who, without any doubt, has moved right up to the plate with its nuclear program, and no one seems to be able to stop them. Oh, sure, there's been a few glitches for Iran, but that's been engineered very precisely so it can proceed according to God's time clock. If you've been paying attention, it's easy to see their pride has definitely accelerated due to Obama and Kerry's desire for glory in coming to some kind of a deal, which really there's no deal at all. And now the UN has cordially invited Iran to be a part of the upcoming Geneva meetings, whose main topic will be about its ally, Syria. How convenient is that? The enemy hard at work, and God, the ultimate puppet master, is still holding the strings. You just gotta love it. Same old story with Israel. Lots of mouth moving, but little chewing. And when will they swallow? Not till God says so. But know this. When the tribulation clock strikes midnight, there will be a pseudo-peace agreement with many. Really doesn't say who. By the way, is this the year? God only knows for sure, but the signs are certainly accumulating. Rockets continue to be fired, both coming in and going out of Gaza, as Israel's surrounding terrorist groups are planning right now a major attack on the Jewish people. Like Iran, their pride is being stirred up. They are exalting themselves and actually making a roar about it, just like Psalm 83, verses 2 to 5, says they will. Different groups are consulting together to cut them off so as not to be a nation any longer. Psalm 83 even describes these bordering enemies, and they certainly match up. But they don't win, and in fact, I believe Israel's borders will be extended past all their walls. And Jerusalem, with the encouragement of Rome, will build a new temple on the mount, just in time for the Antichrist to eventually sit in it. Also, the first blood moon of a tetrad will be this Passover on April 15th, as you've heard me say. As in most other tetrads, war has occurred just before or during a tetrad, as in 1492, 1948, 1967. And actually, there was a tetrad also in the same year that Jesus was crucified and again the following year. And that was surely a war against Satan. So this year will probably be no different. So hold on to your hats, dear saints, because I think it's going to be quite windy. And finally, our wonderful president is now comparing the terrorists, like Al-Qaeda, to a JV basketball team as he pines that people just don't like him now because he's black. Well, let me tell you, he's a narcissist and just won't admit that maybe it's because of his policies, his arrogance, his blatant lies. I believe he's going down. And the rich men of the earth already have their next candidate in the wings. I can assure you of that. So let us continue tonight's program with an exciting expectation of that great wind carrying us up to meet our Lord in the air. And then forever will we be with him. So rejoice and don't let the cares of this world get a stronghold on you. Many of us are being tested so we can become more shining in his eyes. And that's a good thing. And we here at Shofar Ministries will help you stay focused on his plan, which is always to spread the gospel. So please, keep us in your prayers that we can remain on the air, and donations are needed to do that. Now, don't move that dial, or your mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Baruch Hashem Adonai, Shalom Haverim, which means, bless the name of the Lord. Peace to our friends. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour on WHKW Christian Radio. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today, with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. Hey, get ready to take some notes and enjoy the remaining hour of learning God's Word. Now, as we always do, we'll start with a prayer. Abba, our Father in heaven, we thank you again for the opportunity to proclaim your truth, your word, and even your sovereignty over the airwaves, Lord. May your Holy Spirit guide us tonight. We desire to know your ways, your truth, for you're the God who saves us. Teach us to live in your truth and in your word. And we pray tonight especially for the spiritual welfare of our listeners. And may you draw those in our families who still haven't made you Lord over their lives to submit to you totally in all areas of their lives. Abba, we ask that you pull their other foot that's stuck in the world back towards you. And also we lift up to you this program's financial needs, and we pray that those who can will help support this ministry. Bless and heal our listeners' infirmities as we hold these personal written requests in our hands up toward your throne of grace. And most of all, Abba, have mercy on us in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John, and shalom to you.
Thank you.
I want to remind the people the lines are always open for your end time questions. 888-677-WORD. 888-677-WORD.
And remember, if you missed any previous shows, you can go to shofarministries.net, where they are all archived. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, Sheila, we have been studying the seven letters to the seven churches.
We have.
And we've not really been in a big hurry, which is why we're still looking at them tonight. But
yep.
Wow, this has been an interesting journey. And especially if you like history. And I'm talking about the history of the church. Makes it very interesting.
You know, I never used to like history like when I was in school. And now all of a sudden I'm just loving it.
I'm the same way.
Yeah, it just helps put so many dots together.
Yeah, it puts the pieces of the puzzle together.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Anyway. We did begin in the book of Revelation a couple of weeks ago with chapter 1, and just a quick review, it was the vision of Jesus to John the Revelator with the symbols of the lampstands. I just love that symbol. And then he goes on to explain that it represents the church. And, you know, a lot of times in Revelation, that's exactly what he does. Mm-hmm. He might give a symbol, but then somewhere along the line, he tells you what it is.
He does.
So it's not that difficult.
No, that's not. And also, as we reminded our listeners last week, I like how Jesus describes himself in each of the seven letters, actually in 24 different ways.
Yes.
Or you could call them descriptive titles he gives himself. And then he uses these titles in each of his opening remarks to the seven churches. It's really cool.
Right. A different title per church, which gives you a hint of how he feels about what you're going to read.
Yeah. And it's amazing, actually. And of course, as we would expect, right? And we are focusing, of course, on the prophetic application of these seven churches. Now, there are other applications, but we're focusing on the prophetic ones.
Right, because if you take them in order that they are given in the scriptures, it does actually outline church history right up to the present time.
Yes, it does. And let's not forget that there is a special blessing that Jesus attaches to this book to all who study it.
That's right. In this book alone, twice he gives it.
And twice he gives it, so that's reason alone.
And we read that last week, as a matter of fact.
And we sure did. And I want to remind our listeners, if you are interested in having Sheila speak to your group, call our office. The number is 440-834-9006. Or tell your pastor, but encourage him to listen to one of our archived programs so he knows where we're coming from.
That's right.
That's always important.
Well, I think it's important because they're so careful of who they have come in about end time prophecy, and they should be.
Mm-hmm.
So they really need to hear me first so they can also hear my heart. I think it comes out.
I know it does.
I do have one. Oh, well, anyway.
You keep saying that.
I do.
No, I believe it.
Let's continue on. After chapter one's introduction, chapter two is speaking, starts out with the seven churches at Ephesus, and that's speaking to the new believers now, the very beginning church. And it actually, Ephesus means his darling, okay? And it covers the years, around 32 when Jesus was crucified, all the way till about the year, I'd say 100, and that's when the persecution started. But the church at Ephesus starts out really gung-ho, but then Jesus does say that they lost their first love of that intimacy. And that's why I say you can take these letters personally as well, because how many times does that happen to people? They get excited about being saved and they go.
And all of a sudden they're hit with a face full of world.
And that happens
to a lot
down,
of people
so.
And they kind of get unexcited. Well, you know the expression, the honeymoon's over?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have to keep that espousal love with Christ, you know, and Ephesians 5, of course, talks a lot about that.
Mm.
But anyway, they held on to tradition and they discipled well to others, but they just, again, lost that hunger to grow closer.
Mm-hmm.
And we can never get too close. No matter how long you've been saved, no matter how many times you read the Bible, you can always get closer to Christ.
I know. You know, I found that out, too. So now, what comes after this is terrible.
Yes, it is.
Terrible persecution. This is starting when?
About the year 100 to around 312.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, of course, the church at Smyrna, and the believers at this time actually were surrounded by a highly paganistic era. So therefore, the Christians were extremely persecuted by the Roman emperors. Jesus, in this letter, tells them to just overcome by remaining faithful to the end. And then they wouldn't be hurt by the second death.
Wow, pretty much telling them they're going to die, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. Well, next is the church at Pergamos. And that means?
That actually means mixed marriage, mm-hmm. where the church marries the world. And in 312 to, about 606, and we covered that extensively last time, but we will mention a couple things. But Pergamos was the capital of Asia Minor. The early beginnings or the foreshadowing of the soon dark ages that were coming.
Yeah, and notice his title in this letter, He Who Has a Sharp Two-Edged Sword.
Right, and you have to remember that the two churches before, Ephesus and Smyrna, Ephesus was where it says he held the seven stars and walked among the lampstands, which mm-hmm. we saw was the church. And then in the next church, Smyrna, it was he that was first and last who was dead but came back to life. These are very encouraging. But now in Pergamos, we see a different flavor.
Well, you know, one has to admit that. To say Satan's throne is there is definitely a negative tone.
Yes, and we talked last week how Babylon's pagan cult was moved to Pergamos at the time of the Persian takeover. They had their own monotheistic religion of Zoroastrianism. Mm-hmm. Who believed in a heaven and a hell and even a resurrection.
The Persians, that is. So the pagans, with their many false deities and sun worship, were not welcome.
That's correct.
They kicked them out of town.
Yeah, so. So then they moved, and then we see paganism grew rampant up there in the north, and by the 300s had really taken over the empire. But Christianity, true Christianity at that time, in spite of the persecutions, which we saw in Smyrna, it kept growing. Christianity kept growing, which really made Satan furious. Mm. So he came up with a plan to infiltrate, I like to call it yeast.
We know what that means. That means sin.
Yes.
In the Bible. Yeah.
Till it was all leavened.
That's right. So Emperor Constantine had a spiritual.
So-called
spiritual experience, mm-hmm. right?
Yep. Saw that cross in the sky, but he stopped the persecutions and helped to make Christianity, or again, should I say a form of it, the mm-hmm. state's religion.
Yes, but he remained favorable to paganism.
Oh, yeah, he stayed a paganist, actually.
Hmm.
But you can see why this church's name means mixed marriage.
Yeah, the church marries the world.
Mm-hmm. With its false teachings and idol worship.
Yep, still no Bibles at this time, and of course the introduction of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans,
yeah,
that's starting to gain some momentum here, which means Nicolaitans, of course, means to rule over the people. It's very, you break it down, Nico and laity, it's very easy.
That's right. They claim that God has spiritually elevated their religious leaders or bishops over the common folks.
Over the common folks, like they have the exclusive, they're the exclusive ones, only they can reveal the real or convey the real truth, right?
Right. Bishops were given places of honor in the government even. and given the temporal and spiritual keys. Okay, that's the silver key for the temporal and the golden key for the spiritual, which are on the Vatican flag still today. You see two keys, a gold one and a silver one.
Yeah.
As well, you'll see in the middle the picture of the, they call it the tiara, and it actually has three layers of crowns on it.
Yeah, I see that on this. I have a picture of here. What does the three crowns mean?
Well, it took a little research, but apparently it means king over hell, heaven, and purgatory.
Wow. And then, of course, the key to spiritual things and the temporal would be like the world.
That's right.
Or secular.
Yes, government and
religion. And religion. Wow.
That's right.
Okay.
So Pergamos we see is the adjustment time getting to the Church of Thyatira, which we're going to read in verses 18 through 29. But it officially ruled over everything. Thyatira did. And history does prove that, and from many sources, by the way. And we were, again, like I said, we did read Thyatira last week. And if you missed last week or the week before, again, we encourage you to go to the archives and catch up.
Yeah, because although we do quickly summarize what we covered, there's so much that we can't get into because of time restraints.
Well, of course, we'd be saying the same thing every week.
I know.
Okay.
That's okay. We just learn it better.
That's true. You know, that's one thing. When we're not here and we do have to replay a show, nobody complains. We need to hear that again.
that's true. And I'm one of those people a lot of times.
Amen. Well, anyway, as we said last week, Thyatira brings a real change of pace and style. Thyatira is the first time of the seven churches that the tribulation is warned of. Terrible judgments are pronounced, and the Lord assumes his supreme title, Son of God, with eyes of a flaming fire and feet like fine brass.
Well, you know, brass and fire, that means can only mean one thing, and that's judgment.
It always means judgment, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So these last four churches, beginning with Thyatira, are still here today and will be till the end except for one. One will be removed, then those left behind will be graduated in the one world church called Mystery Babylon.
Or the great harlot, or the woman who rides the beast, which is the one world government.
That's right. And again, we did cover Thyatira last week, but not entirely. So I guess a quick review is in order. There is much to say. So not only are we going to say a little bit more now, we're probably going to have to come back to it again next month because I want to bring in again who the Jesuits are and kind of that stuff that we did talk about briefly last year.
Oh, I hope you do.
It needs to be repeated, yeah.
Now, there are some major historical occurrences, and that's what you're going to talk about, right? Now, I'm very interested in this Black Pope versus the White Pope thing.
Oh, yeah, well, you're going to have to wait.
Oh, wow. And that's not talking
John, about... you're jumping ahead here. That's going to be next month.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, let me just give a little bit more history.
Okay. Please do.
Thyatira, again, started in about 606, and it still is today, and most think that it is the Catholic Church because that's who they are. They started the Mass. And Thyatira actually means continual sacrifice. And the meaning of its name does say a lot. I would say so. But I just want to point out, too, that being that I was raised Catholic, I have a heart for those that are still Catholic in that church because I believe there are some that are saved.
I think there's a lot of them that are.
Possibly. Well, we don't know for sure. The main thing is that they need to be told the truth because they need to come out of her. And when we do talk next month more of this, we'll be talking in Revelation 17 and 18 and kind of tying it in all together, which is why I wanted to get the seven letters to the seven churches done so that background is there. But continual sacrifice is actually representing the denial of the completed work of Jesus Christ. By them apparently re-sacrificing him at every Mass, and they prove that by...
The miracle of transubstantiation.
That's right.
That's what they call it.
Which I am told, and this is from the Catholic Encyclopedia that, well, you know what? You just go ahead and read it for the people.
Yeah, this
you?
Is very interesting. This is from the Catholic Encyclopedia, article number 1374. In the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, quote, the body and blood, together with the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore the whole Christ, is truly, really, and substantially contained. It is a substantial presence by which Christ, God and man, makes himself holy and entirely.
That's holy with a W.
With a W. Holy and entirely, meaning more entirely, present. And then point number 1375, it is by the conversion of the bread and wine into Christ's body and blood that Christ becomes present in the sacrament. So they're really saying that
he's
really
and that's the problem. They're resacrificing
him.
Yes. And that's, you know, that we, you know, also have communion, but we know it's a symbol, and that's what it is. It doesn't actually change. But see, this is the problem because, like, when I was in grade school, for instance, and I hate to say this, but it was back in the 50s, so this is, things have changed.
I didn't laugh. That wasn't me. It was...
I know.
Okay.
But we were never even allowed to touch the wafer, you know, when we had communion. And even the night before, we couldn't eat or drink anything after midnight, even water, when we were going to go to Mass the next morning.
Yeah.
And going to Catholic school, we did go to Mass every morning. So only the priest could touch it.
I know that. And again, we're talking, this is like the deeds of the Nicolaitans.
Well, this is the whole point.
The priests have they're exclusive.
That's
you know, only they can
they're
give you that.
They're above us.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And this is not true. And that's why Jesus said in Revelation 2, 6, and 15 that he hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans.
Now, it says he hates the deeds. It doesn't say he hates the Nicolaitans.
No, he hates what they do.
What they're doing, yes.
And again, he said in Revelation 1:6 in his introduction that now because of him, we are all kings and priests. And the Nicolaitan theory also holds true with all the other sacraments as well.
Hmm.
Not just the Mass. We're talking the last rites, the confessional, baptism, confirmation, anointing the sick. Even exorcisms can only be done by a Catholic priest, and Hollywood really goes along with that, don't they?
Yeah, well, Hollywood in general really promotes the Catholic way, especially over born-again believers.
Oh, yeah. If you're a born-again believer, they make you look like a nut.
That's right, and that's a whole other program right there, right?
That's right. That is another program.
Yeah.
Yes, and again, there is actually a reason behind Hollywood, and again, we're going to draw that in next month. But, yeah, you're right. There is a reason.
Because I'm a movie buff, so I know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I have seen it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, back to Thyatira. They made Mary the Queen of Heaven.
And that's a title the pagans had given to the goddess Semiramis.
That was way back.
Way back.
Testament.
And Satan was actually preempting the divine birth of our Savior by doing that.
Yes, because he knew the promise in Genesis 3:15.
He was standing right there. He had to.
That's right.
Right?
Also, Thyatira declared her the mother of God, the Father.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, made her divine and still do.
Mm-hmm.
They declare her without sin, and yet she herself recognized her need for a Savior in Luke 1:47.
Mm-hmm.
The Vatican Council, both in 1870 and confirmed again in Vatican II, said that she was immaculately conceived by God and remained a virgin forever.
And this really is a heretical teaching, not required at all. So, Sheila, since Babylon was moved to Pergamos, when did it move to Rome again?
Good question.
Yeah, remember. We were...
As I stated, that the prophetic year that Thyatira begins was in around 606.
Mm-hmm.
But that's actually when the Pope at this time, in his name, Pope Focus, wanted to be near to the emperor, just wanted to be near to him, and he was in Rome, so he officially moved the throne to Rome at this time.
Okay.
However, the Eastern Orthodox stayed in Byzantium's Pergamos, that, by the way, was changed to Constantinople, mm-hmm. and later during the Ottoman Empire it was changed to Istanbul, which I believe it still is today.
It is, according to that song by They Might Be Giants.
Okay. Anyhow, soon the Eastern Orthodox officially separated themselves from Rome.
And partly, what, because of the Second Commandment? Because they don't have the statues, they only have the paintings, and I know they're called icons.
Yes, right? Partly. But they wanted to have their own pope as well. And I just, you know, now would be a good time to mention that if you have a Catholic catechism at home because you're Catholic, you can probably see that they removed the Second Commandment about the statues. They just took it out. And then to make 10, they made the last one into 2 commandments, so to equal 10.
Hmm.
Now,
come
on.
That's in the catechism.
Yeah, that's in their catechism.
Not in the Bible, but in the catechism.
Right, which we were never allowed to read the Bible. We could only read the catechism.
Ooh.
And, you know, when asked, when a Catholic is asked, they say, well, Jesus changed that when he came.
Okay.
So, anyway, the Roman Catholic Church instituted penance as well to pay for your sins, which means that Jesus didn't completely pay for it. And then they fabricated purgatory and indulgences.
And this would give you time off in purgatory.
Right. But, of course, you have to pay for that.
Right.
Money donated to the church, and then they would say masses and pray for
the deceased, and they
yeah,
would spend
exactly.
a shorter time in purgatory. Or another way you could do this, you could join the Crusaders, and they told these Crusaders, you'll go right to heaven.
Absolutely. Isn't
you know?
That interesting that the Muslims believe that, too?
Oh, absolutely. You know, if they fight in a war called jihad, they could be assured of heaven. That's what they tell the radical Muslims, right?
Yeah. So does the red flag maybe go up in your mind here a little bit?
Yeah.
Just who really is the author of Islam? Don't they pray on beads, too, and highly esteem Mary?
Well, not only highly esteem Mary, but the one woman, a Muslim author, she said that they're actually required to believe in the virgin birth of Mary.
Of Mary, not Jesus.
Right.
Okay,
right.
That yeah. Mary was...
That is, Islam requires them to believe in the virgin birth
so of
Mary.
So that Mary was incarnate.
Apparently
okay.
so.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. And now, there are a few reliable whistleblowers and ex-Jesuit priests that teach that the Vatican actually created Islam. And so to eventually have an undercover army to conquer Jerusalem, is that what they were up to?
Yeah, actually, this is what I'm understanding, and you can check this all out yourselves, people. Don't shoot the messenger here. Chick.com has published some very authentic teachings on it, particularly from the ex-Jesuit priest named Dr. Alberto Rivera.
Mm-hmm. And there's others, too, like RedIceCreations.com and RemnantOfGod.org. And even Wikipedia speaks on it. And there's still more.
Oh, yeah, there is.
There's still more.
And again, we'll revisit this next month, but from what we can gather, and I'll just give you a quick synopsis, the Arabs fell victim, actually, to one of the most clever plans ever devised by the powers of darkness. The short of it is that the Pope, way back when, in approximately 5th and maybe between the 5th and 7th centuries, because it did take a while for the seeds to be planted, and we'll tell that story next month, but finally, it went through that the popes wanted to create a mighty army that would ultimately capture Jerusalem, because they've always wanted Jerusalem, by the way.
And they still do.
And they still do.
Yeah.
But unfortunately for them, it backfired on the Vatican because the Muslims grew and turned on the Mother Church, for they wanted Jerusalem for themselves.
That's right.
Hence, the Pope had to get another army to fight the Muslims now.
And since we're saying hence, I'll say hence the Crusaders,
of
right?
Of course.
That's where they come in.
And, of course, when gathered, they were also promised no time in purgatory, as we stated. And if they would fight the Muslims for Jerusalem, they would, of course, get lots of money as well. I think we'll continue this little story when we come back, but I know that you have an interesting song.
Well, what's going to make this song different is that it's going to be all in Hebrew, and we'll explain the words to you after the song.
Okay.
So stay with us. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour live right here on AM 1220 The Word, and we'll be right back after this cool song in Hebrew that's actually
Hebrew.
from the Book of Psalms.
Okay, great.
Okay. Oh, my, that was pretty. Welcome back to the Shofar Ministry.
That's the word of God in Hebrew, the original language.
Isn't that cool? And guess what psalm that's from? Okay, I'll tell you anyway.
Okay.
That was the beginning of Psalm 42 that says, just
42.
As a deer longs for running streams, in my translation says it, God, I long for you. And that song was entitled, I Am Thirsty for God.
And we sing that in English too, I think. It,
we
deer
sing that.
The deer towards the water.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my heart pants after thee.
Yeah.
That we sing that in English, but that was the original psalm version of it. And that came from a nice collection from HaTaklit Limited, titled Songs from the Book of Psalms.
Nice. Very nice.
Very beautiful. Psalm 42.
Great pick, John. Thanks for picking that.
Hey, no problem. Hey, would you like Sheila to speak at your group? Hey, you might just have to email her. That's Sheila at Shofar Ministries. You can call her, too, but you can email her, Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net. Remember the .net, okay?
Amen. By the way, your donations are very vital to keeping this program on the air and
Absolutely.
Are still tax deductible. So if you would like this, if you like this program and if you are being blessed and learning from our teaching, please consider being a contributor of any gift or perhaps even a monthly sponsor.
Yeah, that's great. And please send your love offering to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. That's Box 513. In Burton, Ohio, or on our web homepage, there's a Partner With Us button right there on the left side. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter. So include your email or your house address, whichever. Okay.
Amen. And remember, the first Friday of every month, Chester Christian Center in Chesterland.
And don't forget our phone numbers for your calls on our subject tonight, which is the end times or the seven letters to seven churches and their prophetic application. Just call 888-677-WORD toll-free. That's 888-677-WORD.
Okay.
Okay, can we get back into this?
Yes, let's get back into it.
Because there's a lot to cover.
Yes, I know. Time always flies.
Time flies.
But we were talking about the Crusades of the 11th century, and they actually did siege the Holy Land, the Crusaders, away from the Muslims, but it didn't last too long. It was only for about 100 years, and then the Muslims got it back in 1187.
Mm.
So by the 14th century, there was lots of turmoil going on in the Catholic Church at this time. Popes were actually fighting other popes.
Well, there you go. That's real godly.
Mm-hmm. Immorality and corruption increased. Mm-hmm. More inquisitions, lots of people getting killed.
And tortured as well. I want to emphasize that, too. Spirit of Jezebel is what that is. We talked about that last week.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that the people, though, thought a bad pope was better than no pope at all, and they still believed the Catholic Church was the only channel of God's will, so therefore the pope was essential.
Mm-hmm.
However, finally, and
what happened?
About the 15th century now, we have two men that rose up to challenge this one only church. And his name was John Wycliffe, who actually translated the Bible into English. And John Huss, who after reading it, was thrown into prison for 8 months. And then burned at the stake in 1415 for heresy against the Catholic Church, who gave the papal bull.
And that means that order. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And had the final say, even over the king.
Wow.
So they burned John Huss and used his writings as well as Wycliffe's writings as fuel for the haystacks that were roped around him.
And then, Sheila, didn't God give him a prophecy, you know, as he was burning and he shouted
yes,
it out?
Yes, actually,
something?
This is amazing. Among his dying words, he proclaimed, and this is what he said, quote, in 100 years, God will raise up a man whose calls for reform cannot be suppressed, close quote. And almost exactly 100 years later, in 1517, Martin Luther nailed his famous 95 Theses of Contention.
Reasons,
which is that list of heretical theology and crimes of the Roman Catholic Church, into the church door at Wittenberg on Halloween night, I might add.
And there you go. The prophecy of John Huss had come true.
I know. Wow. again, if please don't think I'm picking on the Catholic Church, because I got to tell you something. The next church, which represents Protestantism, even though broke away, which is a very good thing, still had some problems too, and still does.
Still do, and
there's no commendation.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
Okay.
Nothing good.
All right. So, Protestants, you're not off the hook.
No, you're not. And this is the Church at Sardis, of course, and Sardis actually means remnant.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about the year 1517 when the Reformation took place.
And isn't that a Jubilee year? Remember our Rabbi Ben Samuel program there?
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the Course Protestants are still here today. They broke away for an all-grace theology because Catholic Church believes in faith plus works, and Protestants believe in just faith.
Yeah, as far as being justified.
But works prove that you are in faith,
have,
but we can't
right.
get the order wrong.
But we're glad that happened, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad they broke away. However, the letter points out that it was dead orthodoxy. There was no spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the worst part. They're not looking for Jesus'
return.
And they still aren't.
Yeah, they're not looking for the return, and that's a glorious thing. We're looking for the Messiah to return.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they still aren't.
So it's organized mm-hmm. Protestantism, and they had many disagreements. Many wolves in sheep's clothing soon infiltrated, and they wanted to cause division on purpose. And we're going to, again, talk about that more next month.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, we won't get into it right now, but that's exactly what happened. And
yeah, I think I'll even come on the show, too.
I hope you do. you see, many denominations bickering over the smallest trivial matters.
Mm-hmm.
But again, remember, for a long time, the Bible was not so readily available.
Yep. It might have been in Latin, right?
Yeah, which they never read. But finally, though, by the 18th century, we see another true split, a good split, based solely on the Bible. But before we do that, let's read about the Reformation Church of Sardis in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, John.
Okie doke. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead.
Dead.
Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect.
Which really means fulfilled.
Before God.
Yeah, because we don't have anything that's perfect.
That's right. Verse 3, remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour.
Which means time or season. It could mean a couple things. It's got a wide variety of.
Okay. You will not know what hour I will come upon you. But it's going to be sneaking up on him, I think, right?
Yeah.
And verse 4, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
That's right. And my comments are, of course, well, first of all, I do want to say that Sardis was once a very powerful city, but it did die out. But I want to point out verse 3, because I think it's just incredible, where it says we need to be watching.
Yeah.
Remember, Christ is coming first as the bridegroom and then later as a thief. Mm-hmm. He does not come to the bride as a thief, and he does not come to the unbelievers as a bridegroom. Okay?
Makes sense to me.
And we see here the heart of the message is if they refuse to leave the dead orthodoxy, they will miss the Lord's coming as the bridegroom.
Hmm.
And again, they didn't really receive any great commendations here.
Yeah, and really still to this day, mainstream Protestant churches aren't really fervently looking for him, are they?
Well, that's right. And I think it's interesting because if you look at this carefully, it says Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and then you will not know what hour. So in other words, if we're looking for him, we will know what hour? Isn't that what it's saying?
Well, you assume the inverse is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
it's more what it's
and
not.
And again,
saying,
it's not the exact hour, but it's certainly the time or the season.
Absolutely.
Or the roundabout time.
And that definitely describes churches today. I really got it.
Oh, I know it. We've learned that a lot, too. We've asked a lot of people, and they well, my church don't teach that. Whatever happens, it'll all pan out in the end, you know? We talked about that.
I know how much you love that.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, but what about that not blot out his name? Do we have time to talk
about that? Yeah, I just want to mention to you that in the Catholic Church, that there was a huge roster with everyone's name in it, by the way. Each church had it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was blotted out, you were excommunicated.
Oh, is that what that meant?
That's right. So if you're excommunicated, your name is blotted out, and then they really believed they were going to hell.
Of course they did.
Because of it.
Yeah, of course they believed that.
So I think in a way Jesus is saying, oh, by the way, I'm not going to blot your name out. You know, and I think he could have been referring to that. But still in all, he already knows who's going to be saved.
That's true.
And whoever's going to be saved, his name is already in that book of life.
Amen. You know, and his mercy is so great, and I'm glad you elaborated on that part of that. On that verse, because a lot of people take that as, oh, okay, he's going to blot my name out of the book of life. No, he's just making a reference to something here. So
we
don't have a God that's going to save you, and then he's going to blot your name out. Don't think that.
He already knows who's saved, and if your name's in there, it's in there, because he knows you're not going to not be saved.
God doesn't use erasers anyway. So
No,
he doesn't need to.
Amen and hallelujah.
Okay.
But
now,
then.
Okay, now we come to the church.
Our church
that we say we belong to. It's a church
Absolutely.
Of brotherly love, otherwise known as Philadelphia.
Which means brotherly love.
And that came into being around?
Around 1730 and still is. Mm-hmm. It's the only church to open up, by the way, with a different title for Jesus Christ. It's not in chapter 1.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, so I didn't notice that.
Hopefully we'll have time to read that.
Mm.
It's the only church other than Smyrna. You know, the suffering church, there is nothing bad said about them.
Yay.
And all others has a flare of judgment, as you know.
Right.
But here it speaks of his holiness and his truth. No criticism, no judgment, and a great promise in verse 10 that his church will escape the trials to come to test the earth dwellers. And the earth dwellers is an idiom for those left behind.
Mm-hmm.
It's those that want to make the earth their home.
Mm-hmm. Their permanent home, actually. They do. And do we have time to read that letter to the...
I think we do.
Okay. Should I start?
Yes.
Okay. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things, says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews, and are not, but lie, indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Earth dwellers.
Hmm? Mm-hmm.
Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Amen. That's a great letter.
That was a goosebumpy one.
This was the Holy Spirit revival time.
Mm-hmm.
The John Wesley's, the George Whitefield. And around this time, they came to America and birthed the missionaries with the key of David, and I believe the key of authority, who opens, and then no one can shut. He opens the doors to... missionaries, and no one's going to shut it.
Well, that's true, because look at China.
I know, and Japan and Korea and Africa, Russia, actually all around the world.
That is true.
Just about. Mm-hmm. And it will be by the time that he returns.
Exactly.
But all through the church at Philadelphia around 1739, you can add Finney to that, D.L. Moody, William Carey, who went to India. I mean, oh my gosh, just this
That's
is
amazing.
What, and this is why America really, I think, was birthed as well.
I know.
So he could be the.
Oh, there's such a precious group of big group of believers in mainland China.
Mm-hmm.
They are so brave. And they are holding on, and they have so much persecution. We've got to remember to keep them in our prayers.
And we just before we have to close, we still have time to make mention about. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie.
Okay, that's always controversial there.
Well, it doesn't have to be, because it can mean a variety of things,
it
actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, we are going to be touching on that more next month, because I do believe that there's those that have infiltrated, call themselves Jews, and then done terrible things so that the Jews would be blamed for it.
Mm.
That is a huge thing, and I've got some historical evidence to prove that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other things like replacement theology says, you know, that now we're the new Jews.
Yeah.
You know, that
mm-hmm.
we have the right. So
yeah,
there's a couple other things.
Yeah, that'll be a good show.
So.
Yeah. Well, we have to go?
Well, we are going to. I just want to point out that when we come back next week, we will, of course, finish this. We're going to talk about the Church of Laodicea, which, I don't know, I like to call the lazy church that started up around 1950 and still going on.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of make their own rules.
That's right. Laodicea is the opposite, or sort of the opposite of Nicolaitans. It's making your own rules as you go along, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's by the people instead of hierarchy over the people. Now it's the people themselves making their own rules. It's
sort of like in the Book of Judges and things where people, it says people did what
was right,
right
in
their
own
eyes.
Yeah. By the way, Laodicea comes from Laodicea. D.C., which is the name of Antiochus II's wife, and it was named after her.
And what does that mean, that Laodicea?
Actually, it means a gossip.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, this is really getting
interesting. So isn't that amazing?
But,
so,
well, I want to find out about this church, but we'll have to wait till next week.
Yes, we will. We will. But that is our last church, and then we'll be able to cover a little bit more on some other things I want to talk about.
Okay. Well, thanks for that great teaching. And I want to ask you, listener, is Jesus Lord over your whole life? Do you just have the head knowledge of him and not really the heart conviction? You know, that's all it takes is one prayer and to get that head knowledge down 18 inches to where your heart is. If you could get on your knees right now, and we do recommend that.
It's humbling.
It is. And then repent, particularly of those individual sins that are keeping you in bondage. You know what they are. Of course, God knows what they are. But they're weighing you down. Admit that you do them, okay? And then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. He's your God, your Savior, Savior of the whole world, indeed. Remember, it's always your choice where you spend eternity. God doesn't send anyone to hell. We decide that. He's left that to decide ourselves. And there's only two places it can go. And with God or with Satan.
Mm-hmm. Who do you want to be with?
Who you want to be with? Impossible to have fellowship with God without that relationship or that sacrifice
Absolutely.
That Jesus made on the cross.
Yeah.
And that blood covers you, and that and you are acceptable to God now.
It's and through Jesus.
And not only that,
to the Father.
Yeah, and once you get off your knees, God's just going to tell you how much He loves you.
That's
and,
right.
And listeners and Catholic, I don't care, Catholic or whatever, God loves you so much that He sent His only Son. His dearest son.
That's right. You want to give the blessing, John?
Yes, I sure would like to. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, mark your calendars for the first Friday of every month, Chester Christian Center in Chester Lynn, Ohio, and join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m.
And until then, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
That's right, not maybe.
That is Psalm 122, verse 6. Shalom, everyone. See you next
Shalom.
Week.
Shalom.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford at the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.